Please turn with me to the book of Genesis, the third chapter. Where Genesis is, it's the first book in the Bible. If you see anything else, you've gone too far. I will be jumping through scriptures, and I pray that the technology works with me today, but I always encourage you to have your own Bibles. Amen. Whether they be paper or electronic, have your own. The book of Genesis, the third chapter, and the 20th verse. Amen. Help me, Lord. Genesis 3:20. I'm going to, in the interest of time, I know time is well spent. I know a lot of us have Mother's Day things we are looking forward to. Amen. But we're going to put first things first, which is the Word of God. Amen. Genesis, the book, the third chapter, the 20th verse. It reads as follows. It says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living." The title I want to present to you today is this: Keep Your Mother in Context. Keep Your Mother in context. You may be seated. Many of us, whether we watch the news or not, are aware that there is a decline in birth rates for Americans. That ever since the 70s, all the way till COVID hit, that the number of births have been going down in America. And some might say that's not really an issue, because that means, you know, childcare is going to be more affordable and schools won't be as overpopulated in the future. But this has a lot of people worried, because in the future, there's going to be less working Americans. The taxes might get hit. And when it's all said and done, America might even get smaller and have less money. And oftentimes, people would look at, let's say, people my age, because my, you know, millennials and also Gen Z are the, you know, of childbearing age. And yes, I'm serious. Gen Z is of childbearing age. And they might look at those of us who have chosen to start having kids later, if at all. And the number one thought that has been prevailing is that, oh, they selfish. The average birth rate used to be 21, birth age used to be 21 years old. Now it's about 28. And they're saying, why are people having babies later? And a lot of people would say it's because of selfishness. You know, you want to enjoy life more, you want to do these things. And I would say that, yes, maybe it is for some. But also, we have to factor in some of these other things that are going on. It's harder to have a baby nowadays. Things are not as affordable as they used to be. Some people would say that, you know, it's been the times have been changing, and this world is dangerous. And I've heard many women say that they do not want to bring a child into this type of world. And that's not including the, you know, the diseases and those who just can't have children. It's not even including all of those. But the general consensus is the same, that what will the future be like? This is what the question, this is the one of the top questions that mothers nowadays face. What will the future be like for my kid? We, as the church, oppose abortions. We do not believe in abortion. However, we seem to not have an answer for those who are not able to take care of the kids. And the reason, one of the biggest reasons they even get abortions is because they don't know what type of future will be for their kid. With prices rising on every which way, with the world getting crazy and even to the fact that you have to have security at elementary schools, why would you even want to bring kids into this world? And this comes from a deep seated desire to want better for our kids. I would think that most parents, when they dream of having their kids, that they don't want to raise a serial killer. They don't want to raise a scammer. They don't want to raise somebody who's going to be on the street. But they want to raise somebody who's going to live a good life. That things would be better. That things would improve. This is the tension that almost every mother wrestles with, even Eve. Now, back in chapter 2, verse 23, Adam, who was the first man created, Adam had God had brought Eve out of his chest, you know, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman because for she was taken from man. Adam had named her as a species, you know, woman, man, as a type of human. That had happened already. But by the third chapter, the 20th verse, she is given the first name. Now, some of you may say, wait a minute, I thought Adam was the first name. If you read, Adam was never actually given his name. He was never actually given his name. In fact, in the Hebrew, the word for man and Adam are the exact same. God never said, you shall be called Adam. That is your name. But Eve is the first one who is honored with a name. So that means that on top of being a woman, she has her own identity. Y'all see that? And you know, this is not the sermon, but you know, that means that Eve was more than just somebody's husband or wife. You know, sometimes, and women, I know the women can relate to this, sometimes it's always the man gets the name and the woman gets the, you know, the relation to the man, James and, you know, his wife. Move on. That's not the right sermon. But Eve is the first person given her own identity and is given, and it's relevant to her purpose to be the mother of all the children of all the earth. And not only was it relevant to her purpose, but it would also show how she would serve others as a mother. Now, this all sounds wonderful and beautiful, but if you know what happened between that time, then you start asking questions. Because before she was named Eve, Adam and Eve both sinned against the Lord. They both ate of the fruit. And because they ate of the fruit, they did exactly what God told them not to do. They introduced sin into this world. And God had just gotten done pronouncing all of the curses that would be upon mankind. And if you really look at it, everybody is losing. The serpent lost, men lost, women lost, even the ground lost. The next generation, everything that they would touch was losing. And if you are Eve, you're probably struggling with that. I mean, think about it. Eve had better, right? Garden of Eden. No more perfect you can get than that. Eve had better, and she knew her kids were going to get worse. Not only did she know that her kids were going to get worse, but additionally, the process of fulfilling this purpose, aka the process of giving birth, would be hard on her. Verse 16, it says, God said to the woman, I will intensify your labor pains. You will bear children with painful effort. And all the mothers in the house know what that's like. Amen. Even the daddies in the house that have been in the room know what that's like. Now, and why am I saying all this? This doesn't make sense. Where are we going with this? What is the easiest way for Eve to avoid pain? What is the easiest way for Eve to not have to deal with what God is dealing with and what God is pronouncing? What is the easiest way? The easiest way for Eve to avoid pain is to decide not to have children. Y'all thought about that? I will intensify your labor pains. You will bear children with painful effort. That will not happen if you don't give birth. All this sin being introduced to the world and whatnot, none of that matters if you don't have kids. None of it matters. The easiest way for Eve to avoid pain was to decide not to have children. Knowing the consequences, Eve still went ahead and had children. Adam named her Eve because it means living. The word Eve means living. In the face of all of this death, in the face of all of these curses, Adam is honoring Eve with the first name that means living because he knows that she is how this world is going to get redeemed. What do you mean? Verse 14 of the same chapter says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than any livestock and more than any wild animal. This is the Lord talking to the serpent. You will move on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life. Verse 15, I will put hostility between you and the woman and between you, your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. And what that verse was pointing forward to was the entrance of Jesus Christ. When Jesus would come, generations later, he would come to strike the head of Satan. And he would do that by dying for our sins on the cross. and by being buried, and on the third day, by defeating death and rising up from the grave. Jesus' death and resurrection would be the answer, would be the undoing of this curse. 1 Corinthians 15, 21 through 22 says, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ will all be made alive." Jesus was the answer to what they messed up. But Jesus would not have been born through the Virgin Mary if Eve decided not to have any children. See, when we are in Christ, we are part of the redemption process. When we are in Christ, we're not here just to have church and meet each other for a little bit and then go on our merry way and just try to survive the world. But we are here to redeem this world, to redeem those under the curse so that they would come to Christ and that they would be made alive. That is why the Lord has still left us in here. He said not, he did not want to take us out of this world, but that we would be protected from the evil one. Why are we still here? To help undo the curse. Why am I saying all this? Why should we honor mothers today? Because they bring life into this world. I understand things are hard to afford. I understand things are getting worse and worse. But to the mothers who are deciding to have children, God bless you. Because even in the midst of all this, you have decided that you will move forward and you will have this child. Not to be part of the system, not to fall into Satan's way, but that they would somehow be a contribution to the society and in effect glorify God among the people so that the people may glorify God. We can't be here without our mothers, y'all. I'm ending the sermon. This is the thought I want to leave you with. Just remember on this Mother's Day, for all of us have mothers, whether they're here or not. Just remember, to whatever degree they did, she gave up her life for yours. I honor my wife. And many of you at St. John know the struggle. If you're here during the baby shower and you saw the board full of needles that just represented only a couple of weeks of what she had to deal with, all pregnancy, and it still wasn't guaranteed, she still did it. And our son is with us today. And I want to be clear, it was still by the grace of God. Because even after she did everything she could, there were still so many uncertainties, but God decided for whatever reason to bring this one in. I honor my mother, who made deep sacrifices, not only to have me and my brother and sister, but also to raise them. I won't tell all the business, but my mom had an extremely promising career. Promising meaning, you know, promising career. And she could have taken off, but she saw raising us as a priority, and she made sacrifices to make sure that me and my brother and my sister would come up the right way. Now, I don't want to talk about my mom like my dad wasn't there. My dad was there too, okay? Let me clear that up, okay? But today is Mother's Day. We're honoring the mothers. They both could have chosen not to have children. They both could have. And be better off, some people would say, for it. But I thank God that they did. Are you grateful for your mother? Because she did give up her life for yours. Now, some of us are saying, I'm not tracking with that. Because my actual mother gave me up for adoption, some of us. My actual mother was abusive. My actual mother was strung out. Hello? Even if you had a bad mother, she is still your mother. I want to be clear. Eve messed up too. She was part of the reason all this is. Eve messed up too. Eve had better than her kids did. But you know what? Even if your mama was strung out, even if your mama gave you up for adoption, you are here. And there was some sacrifice. There was some sacrifice. Even if that sacrifice was only for 9 months, there was some sacrifice on your mother's part to get you here. She had a choice, and she sacrificed to have you. I'm not saying that you need to look over abuse. No, that's not it. I'm not saying that you just need to dismiss her issues. I'm not saying that you have to say she's the greatest mother when you never met her. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, at the very minimum, honor the fact that she had you. Honor the fact that you are here. At the very least. And this is what I mean by keeping your mother in context. She could have dropped us. She could have dropped you. She could have let you go. She could have chosen, like so many others have chosen, to have you aborted. Or maybe she could have aborted herself. But at the very least, your mother gave up part of her life for yours. And it was not so that you would be strung out. It was not so that you would live in bondage and in slavery to sin. It was not so that you would beg and you would plead, but it was so that you might have a chance at life and life more abundantly. So at the very least, whether your mom is here today or not, whether you had a good relationship or not, at the very least, honor your mother for the fact that she gave up her life for yours. Yeah.